So on this 24th day of April 2011 in Alachua, Florida, we're speaking at the Sunday Feast, traditional Sunday Love Feast. Srila Prabhupada began in 1966. And tonight I'd like to talk about prayer. I was thinking about what would be appropriate. This group is a wide variety of people. There are people who've been in chanting Hare Krishna and worshiping Krishna for 40-odd years, and those who are, this is their first time in the temple. So I thought that we could talk a little bit about prayer, and specifically begin with Queen Kunti's prayers. These prayers are very dear to Srila Prabhupada. He often quoted them, and he actually recorded them one time. So one of my favorites, in fact, I heard Prabhupada give a lecture on this prayer, was from chapter 8. These prayers are in chapter 8, text 42. And some of you may know this prayer. And if you do, you can chant along with me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vaime ananda vishaya matir madupate sakrit ratamun bhataradha gange bau ghamudanvati. So Queen Kunti prays to Lord Krishna. Now this is their last meeting. The battle of Kurukshetra was over. The Pandavas had come out victorious. And Krishna is bidding goodbye to Queen Kunti, who's his maternal aunt. And it's very moving because she had relied on him throughout all these years for protection, even in the darkest hour when they were exiled, they were walking in the forest, they had everything taken from them, cheating, dice game. And yet they never lost faith in Krishna, she and her exalted sons, the Pandavas. And so now everything has come out victorious. Krishna's about to take his leave and go back to Dwarka. So this is the second to last prayer. She says, O Lord of Madhu, as the Ganges forever flows to the sea without hindrance, let my attraction be constantly drawn unto you without being diverted to anyone else. And Srila Prabhupada explains in his purport, perfection of pure devotional service is attained when all attention is diverted toward the transcendental loving service of the Lord. To cut off the tie of all other affections does not mean complete negation of the finer elements like affection for someone else. This is not possible. A living being, whoever he may be, must have this feeling of affection for others because this is a symptom of life. The symptoms of life, such as desire, anger, hankerings, feelings of attraction, etc., cannot be annihilated. Only the objective has to be changed. Desire cannot be negated, but in devotional service, the desire is changed only for the service of the Lord in place of desire for sense gratification. The so-called affection for family, society, country, etc. consists of different phases of sense gratification. When this desire is changed for the satisfaction of the Lord, it is called devotional service. In the Bhagavad Gita, we can see that Arjuna desired not to fight with his brothers and relations just to satisfy his own personal desires. But when he heard the message of the Lord, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, he changed his decision and served the Lord. And for his doing so, he became a famous devotee of the Lord, for it is declared in all the scriptures that Arjuna attained spiritual perfection by devotional service to the Lord in friendship. The fighting was there, the friendship was there, Arjuna was there, and Krishna was there, but Arjuna became a different person by devotional service. Therefore, the prayers of Kunti also indicate the same categorical changes in activities. Srimati Kunti wanted to serve the Lord without diversion, and that was her prayer. This unalloyed devotion is the ultimate goal of life. Our attention is usually diverted to the service of something which is non-godly or not in the program of the Lord. When the program is changed into the service of the Lord, That is to say, when the senses are purified in relation with the service of the Lord, it is called pure, unalloyed devotional service. Srimati Kunti Devi wanted that perfection and prayed for it from the Lord. Her affection for the Pandavas and the Vrishnis is not out of the range of devotional service, because the service of the Lord and the service of the devotees are identical. Sometimes service to the devotee is more valuable than service to the Lord. But here, the affection of Kunti Devi for the Pandavas and the Vrishnis was due to family relation. This tie of affection in terms of material relation is the relation of Maya, because the relations of the body or the mind are due to the influence of the external energy. Relations of the soul, established in relation with the Supreme Soul, are factual relations. When Kunti Devi wanted to cut off the family relation, she meant to cut off the relation of the skin. The skin relation is the cause of material bondage, but the relation of the soul is the cause of freedom. This relation of the soul to the soul can be established by the via medium of the relationship with the super soul. Seeing in the darkness is not seeing, but seeing by the light of the sun means to see the sun and everything else which was unseen in the darkness. That is the way of devotional service. Om jnana timarandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshur unmidatam mena tasmai shri gurave namah. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisance unto him and all members of Sri Parampara. So this is a very important prayer by Queen Kunti. When you analyze this prayer, you see that it really encompasses a broad spectrum of devotional service in seed form. She says, Trayame ananya vishaya. Now the word vishaya here means subject matter. Subject matter. The mind is always going here and there and absorbing itself in various subject matter. And most of the time, especially when there's no devotional service, in things having absolutely no relationship to Krishna, no direct relationship. So she says, Trayame ananya vishaya, matir madupate sakrit. She wants her mind, her thoughts, to be absorbed in Krishna. Madhupate is a name for Krishna, the lord of the Madhu dynasty. Without being diverted to anything else. Ananya means no other subject matter. Now, if you read the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, you will find so much talk there, because it's, after all, dhyana yoga, the yoga of meditation, the yoga of controlling the mind and fixing it on one point. And it's very clear in that chapter that one point is Krishna within the heart. That it's a struggle, right? There are various ways of doing that. You go off to a isolated place, you sit a certain way, you practice the breathing exercise, which pranayama, which helps to calm the mind and control it, and then you gradually fix it on the mind, on the object of the meditation, through the process of dharana, which is concentration, until you come to the point of real meditation or unbroken meditation, which is samadhi. Very difficult, but it is a bona fide technique. So, she's praying now for this. She's not saying that, okay, now I'm going to go off to the forest and practice this means. She's praying to Krishna that he will help her and that he will control her mind and place it on him without diverting to anyone else. May my mind be fixed on you. Trayime anandavishya mati madhupate sakrit. And then the second half talks about love. And let my love be drawn to you and flow to you powerfully, just like the Ganges River flowing into the sea. There's something called Ganga Sagara, where the Ganges meets the sea. This is a very the river. Any river is most powerful flow when it's just meeting the sea, isn't it? So she prays that love will flow toward you without being diverted anywhere else. So this is very significant. In the practice of devotional service, really everything that we do is a kind of prayer. Just like when Srila Prabhupada was asked, what is the Hare Krishna mantra? What's the meaning? How should we think about it? And he said very simply, just like a child calling out to the mother, O Radha, O Krishna, please engage me in your service. Isn't it? It's a prayer. There's a desire behind it. There's a desire behind everything we do. And this desire, when we chant the holy name purely, is simply that Krishna will reinstate us in his service.
It's perfectly enunciated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shikshastaka. First, he says in those two prayers, the 4 and 5, in the 8 verses of Shikshastaka, 8 verses of instruction, centering on the holy name, he says, Nadanang nadanang nasundarim kavitang bhajagadishakami mama janmani janmani sure bhavata bhakti rahoitakitvahi. He says, I don't want wealth, first thing. Now, so much of religion, so-called religion, people go and they pray for wealth. They pray for some kind of relief for poverty. Isn't it? Krishna talks, says, this is bona fide. If you come to me with that desire, artarti, he says in the 7th chapter. That's bona fide. But we're not meant to stay on that platform. We're meant to come to this platform of this verse of Lord Chaitanya. So he says, I don't want wealth. I don't want followers. I don't want beautiful spouse. I don't want kavitam. I don't want the ability to spin out wonderful materialistic theories, right? Jagadisha, O Lord of the universe. I don't even want liberation, because then he says, birth after birth, let me simply have unmotivated devotional service to you. This word, ahoitaki, comes up again and again. Ahoitaki means without material motivation. This is the standard in our sampradaya. This Hare Krishna movement is founded on that basis. This is why we're sitting here. Srila Prabhupada came to America inspired by his spiritual master and by the 6 Goswamis. He sat in Radhadamodar temple, contemplating Rupa Goswami, his samadhi, studying the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which begins with this key verse for understanding everything that we do in Krishna consciousness. Anya abhilashita sunyam jnana karma dinavritam anukulena krishnam ushilinam bhaktarutamam. That pure devotion, which is the standard here, must be without any other desire. This is Queen Kunti praise. Anya abhilashita sunyam, devoid of other desire. And not covered or diluted or obscured by desire for liberation or desire for some material remuneration. Jnana karma anavritam. And on the positive side, it has to be engaged in with the idea of pleasing Krishna and no other motive. This is what we aim for in Krishna consciousness. So this is what Queen Kunti is saying here. He says, let me not be diverted to anything else. Let my love not be diluted. I simply want it to flow toward you. And the Hare Krishna mantra, coming back again to that, this is the central practice that we have, is meant to be chanted with that mood. Nadananga dananga sundari. Okay, this is what I don't want, I don't want it. Then what is that pure love? And hoitaki bhakti. The next verse. I nanda tanuja kinkaram patitam mahavishame bhavamadam. So there's no question. The object of this love is Nanda Tanuja, the son of Nanda Maharaj Krishna, who's standing there on the altar. This is the object. No other form of Krishna, or no other form of God, nothing vague, very defined. And here he's saying, in this verse, Lord Chaitanya is teaching us. He's Krishna himself teaching us how to pray as a sincere bhakta. He says, recognizing that we are Krishna's eternal servants. That is our sarup. That is our natural position. Now, as Prabhupada would say, our constitutional position. And we've lost that. Ainanda tanuja kinkaram. Kinkaram means a very humble, menial servant. I've fallen into this horrible ocean of birth and death, recognizing that it is horrible, not trying to enjoy here. There's a lot in these verses. So Vishame Bhavamodo Kripaya Tava Pada Pangaja, out of your mercy, please lift me up and place me again at the atom of your lotus feet. In other words, let me have a position of eternal service somewhere in the spiritual world. That's the prayer that we should have as we chant Hare Krishna. Calling out to Radha and Krishna to please reinstate me in your service. Now, the difficulty is all the other things. The ananya vishaya. Because we come into this world beset by unlimited desires other than for Krishna. Itchadvesha samudena dvanda mohena bhava. There's dualities. This is pleasant, this is unpleasant. According to how it impacts our senses. And also there's the internal sense, emotional, positive and negative. That's very important. So all of that is part of the dualities of this world. We're overcome with that. And then, if we're fortunate, We get the seed of bhakti. We come in touch with Srila Prabhupada directly through his books or by one of his devotees. Somehow or other, the seed is planted in the form of this knowledge and this philosophy and the holy name. And now there's a whole other orientation for our sense of self, our sense of who we are, and what we should do, and what the ultimate goal of life is. So now there's a battle that goes on. The battle is in our hearts. We have our conditioned self habituated to enjoying this way, thinking this way, thinking of ourselves in relationship to various relative things. But we understand, and we're acting to some degree on the other real ego or real self as a devotee of Krishna. So this is where the prayer comes in. Because the prayer it means an enunciation of a desire to the Supreme Personality of God for something. Right? You can pray for anything. Right? And Lord Chaitanya has taught us what not to pray for. So to have the strength and the intelligence to pray in this way, this is you know, one of the wealth of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam gives us so many prayers, and they all come back to this standard. The standard of praying only to be reinstated in the service of Lord. So Trayame Ananda Vishaya Matu Madhupate Sakrit. Now I want to share a couple of other prayers with you, and then I also want to share something that we can chant together. It's a little poem, kind of an expansion of this Hare Krishna mantra. Hare is Radharani. Srila Prabhupada said, the internal pleasure energy of the Lord. It can also be Sita Ram. This is all the Supreme Personality of God, the Supreme Energetic, and His energy, internal energy. Right? So, our literature is filled with beautiful prayers in this regard, praying to Radha and Krishna for service, for love. One of my favorites, I think I may have shared it with you before, but since I come only every 6 months, many of you maybe never heard it, or if you did, you probably forgot. So here it is. Pashupala varimya nandano vadametam maharati he yuvam. Bhavatu panayo bhave bhave bhavatore vapadam bujeshume. So this is a prayer to Radha Shamasunda. O Radha Krishna, children of the best of cowherd men, this single boon I beg from you, again and yet again. In all the countless births, my endless sins will make me meet. May all my love flow toward your luscious, lustrous lotus feet. Perfect prayer. It's from Rupa Goswami in his final poem called the Utkalika Valari, which is a vine of his most ardent desires. And he's giving us his very simple prayer. Elsewhere, of course, we have, as I said, in Shikshastika, also, you know, perfectly composed prayers by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. Your servant for eternity, I lost my true identity and fell into this horrid sea of birth and death, O Lord. O Nanda's son, please hear my plea. By your sweet grace, consider me a speck of dust upon your lotus feet forevermore. So, now one thing, I share with you these little prayers. I've written a few of them into English poetry. Now, this whole movement, this whole sampradaya, is based on, the whole Vedic culture is based on poetry. It may be in Sanskrit, but it's still poetry. And Bengali. Every verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the rhymes, is perfectly composed by Krishnadas Kaviraj. Kaviraj means the king of poets. I don't know if you know that. So, why all this poetry? There's some prose, there's plenty of prose. Srila Prabhupada wrote his purports in prose. Fifth canto, description of the universe, you'll find most of it. But most of it is in this poetry. Why? So we can recite it and remember it, and it sticks in our mind. The advertisers know that. That's why they have all these jingles. You know, I'm not going to repeat any, because if I would repeat them, they would come from 50 years ago when I was 10 years old. So, but you know, they're very smart. Music and song, it sticks in your mind. Repeat it. Yes, go by. You know, they plant desire in you. So by the same token, we should take the gifts that have been given to us, primarily the Hare Krishna mantra, which also has a lilt to it, you notice? And repeat them and absorb our mind in them and enter into them. When you take a prayer, now there's different kinds of prayers Srila Prabhupada talks about in his books. One, you simply appropriate a prayer. You repeat a prayer like Queen Kunti's prayer. Perfectly wonderful. But you can also compose your own prayers. We're encouraged to compose our own prayers. And what's the prayer? I was chanting Hare Krishna the other day. You know, I sit here every morning, chant Hare Krishna. Most of us chant rounds, many rounds. And what was I thinking? So many things. Then I was thinking, why don't I pray to Krishna through this holy name that he will help me fix the mind on him? You can do that. No hard and fast rules. Come to Krishna, and like Rupa Goswami say, Krishna bhavandam bande manmanasamadakadamapayinijapadapankachamakadande. O Krishna, dearest Lord, I bow to you and then entreat, please place the bee of my restless mind in the honey of your lotus feet. Sometimes this is a chorus to a song that he wrote. And it's perfectly, you know, wonderful. I can't do it. Have you ever noticed how difficult it is to control the mind? Mind is like the raging wind, says Arjuna, or it's like a bee moving here and there. Sometimes it's compared to a wild horse, right? Difficult to tame the wild horse. Let's face it, this is the sadhana. This is the practice, to try to control the mind and fix it on Krishna. And our means we've been given is sound vibration. That's the main means. And secondarily, all of this wonderful, the deity, you know, the prasadam, the sangha, all of this is meant to be saturated by sound vibration. Jiva Goswami says, no practice of the deity worship is complete without the chanting of the holy name, or the chanting of different verses that contain the holy name and glories of Krishna. Anyone who spends any time on the altar, I used to do some puja, there's so many mantras, isn't it? For each of the things that you do, there's always sound accompanying it. And so, all of this is meant to draw our mind, draw our heart toward Krishna. And if we find difficulty, pray. Pray to Krishna that he will help us improve our rounds, that he will help us control our... that we'll get a taste. Another prayer Rupa Goswami gives in his Namashtaka. Namashtaka, 8 verses about the holy name. Srila Prabhupada quotes the first one in Madhya Lila. And two of them actually pray for taste for the holy name. You remember in the Shikshastika, Lord Chaitanya taking the role of a conditioned soul, he says, alas, I have no taste for you because I commit too many offenses. And the solution is to be very humble, as humble as a blade of grass, as tolerant as a tree, to give all praise to others and expect none for oneself. So what does that mean to be as humble as a blade of grass and tolerant and all? It means to constantly be praying. If you really feel yourself to be insignificant, have no power, your only hope is to pray to the Lord to uplift you. You see? This is the advantage of Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, if we think about it a little bit, we'll see that we're pretty unqualified. In Dwapara Yuga, you live for 1,000 years. You know? You have more power. In Treta Yuga, even more. If you live on the heavenly planets, you got, you know, such a wonderful facility. It's harder to feel as insignificant as a blade of grass when you have all this facility. So in one sense, Kali Yuga is the worst time, right? We don't live very long, we're always misguided, mind's always disturbed, we're unfortunate. But we are positively fortunate that in this age, Lord Chaitanya has come and given us this direction. So the thing is, the last should be first, the first should be last. Remember that? The Bible, right? So we're the last. But we can become the first by recognizing our insignificant, helpless position and using that understanding to call out in absolute desperation for the help of Krishna. You see the advantage. So Rupa Goswami prays, he says, Gadamana Yashoda Nandano Nandasunu Kamana Nayana Gopi Chandra Vrindavan Indra Pandata Karuna Krishna Vityaneka Swarupe Twayama Madhata Uchai Vartatam Namadeha. My dear Lord, you have so many different names. And these names, they embody the Leela of Krishna. Remember that song, Yashomati Nandana? This is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. These names are redolent. You know, redolent. They have the fragrance and they're filled, and overfilled with Krishna's pastimes. So Agadamana, here's some sample names. You're the killer of Agasura. You're the son of Yashoda, the son of Nanda. You're the moon that causes the chakora birds of the gopi's eyes to blossom wide. You know, you're the master of Vrindavan. And of course, you're the most merciful to the fallen. And your Krishna is another name. Please increase my desire for you, my taste for you more and more. We could pray like that. So, factually speaking, everything that we're doing should be infused with this idea of prayer. When you think about it, prayer is just a desire. It's a desire that's articulated and directed toward God or any superior person for a hope that you get reciprocation. So we know from our books, from the Shastra, who the source of all real benediction is. And we know what our real relationship is and how we should feel. But we haven't realized it. We know it theoretically, but we haven't realized it. Therefore, the prayer has to be there that will advance in devotional service. Everything that we do is full of this prayer. So once again, coming back to Hare Krishna, now this expansion of Hare Krishna, I wanted to share with you, and now maybe we can, is anyone there to queue up my verses? Okay. So this is a song by the Shuka and the Shari. The Shuka is the male parrot, and the Shari is the female parrot. Now, it's taken from the Govinda Lilamrita, but it's also in the songbook and the Vedabase, the second songbook, the more songs of the devotees. So, I put it into a little poem, and basically when you think about it, as we mentioned, as Srila Prabhupada taught us, we're praying to Radha and Krishna, please engage me in your service. So all this does is just expand it a little more, expand that prayer, specifically for service to Nanda Nandana, the son of Nanda, Krishna, and service to Radhika. So, if we could maybe turn the lights down a little bit, and what do we have here? Technology. Any luck? It's already there. Where's Krishna Keshava? Is it on the screen? Not on the screen. Well, it was when I left it. All right. There's something there called Alatra PDF. What did I do? It's on the. There's a flash drive. No. It's happening. Ah. Okay, why it merged, I don't know. Is there a flash drive there? Or did it need to be merged? Oh, well, neat. All right, make it a little smaller. Okay, I don't know how that happened. But you'll be able to follow it along. So what this is, leave it that size. That's all right, yeah. Okay, yeah, that's it. That's good, perfect. So these are eight prayers to Sri Nandanandana by the Shuka, the male parrot. And can you activate that harmonium?
Harmonium?
Yeah, we're going to sing a little bit here. Now you can follow along and sing with me. The meter is very, very simple. But maybe you can also come in on the, at least come in on the refrain, which is the last line. You see that repeats, may Nanda's son bestow on me the service of his lotus feet. Go ahead, just give me a D. We'll figure something out. The D. His dark complexion mocks mascara, sapphires, and the blackish cloud. Now, the idea is here. You can read that, but also don't forget to look at Sri Nandanandana there. His dark complexion mocks mascara, sapphires, and the blackish cloud. His garments shine like reddish rising sun with lightning bolts endowed. With sandal paste enhanced with camphor, are his handsome limbs replete. May Nanda's son bestow on me the service of his lotus feet. May Nanda's son bestow on me the service of his lotus feet. Upon his cheeks, his shark-shaped earrings dance with quintessential grace. The pride of countless moons and lotus blooms is shattered by his face. The gopis bind his heart with hidden love that's perfect and complete. May Nanda's son bestow on me the service of his lotus feet. May Nanda's son bestow on me the service of his lotus feet. His loving pastimes, youthful form, and gorgeous dress are always new. His coward friends delight him with their playful tricks and joking too. His splendid pleasure grows, make Indra's Nandana accept defeat. May Nanda's son bestow on me the service of his lotus feet. May Nanda's son bestow on me the service of his lotus feet. Their hearts aglow with golden frame, his friends and kin expand his joy. The universal rulers bow their heads before that cowherd boy. He daily honors learned, truthful Brahmins, free of all conceit. May Nanda's son bestow on me service of his lotus feet. May Nanda's son bestow on me the service of his lotus feet. King Indra's wrath and Kaliya's and Kamsa's life, Arishta's too, he crushed with these, thus raining down heroic pastimes ever new. Like Chataka's, his devotees are nourished by that torrent sweet. May Nanda's son bestow on me the service of his lotus feet. May Nanda's son bestow on me the service of his lotus feet. His rasa dance in sylvan groves delights Sri Radha and her friends, who drink the nectar of his clever joking play, which never ends. The glory of his loving sports fills all the world with joy complete. May Nanda's son bestow on me the service of his lotus feet. May Nanda's son bestow on me the service of his lotus feet. His rasa dance displays intense devotion of the purest kind. His charming, wondrous form and dress enchant and chanting Cupid's mind. His glances at the gopis hint at ecstasy supremely sweet. May Nanda's son bestow on me the service of his lotus feet. May Nanda's son bestow on me the service of his lotus feet. As Radha gathered flowers, Krishna touched her, then he felt desire and jubilation as he saw her face adorned with loving ire. Hari becomes the sandal paste on Radha's heart whenever they meet. May Nanda's son bestow on me the service of her lotus feet. May Nanda's son bestow on me the service of his lotus feet. Exalted goddesses like Lakshmi Devi rarely ever see. Sri Radha's lover Madhava, but if a humble devotee recites these verses, then Sri Radhika's enjoyer Sri Hari will pour the nectar of his service down on him eternally. Will pour the nectar of his service down on him eternally. Okay, there you go. But that one was for Krishna, and so that made Radharani very happy. So the next one is for Radha, so that Krishna will also become very happy with us. Okay, continuing on. 8 prayers to Sri Radhika. Her gold complexion steals the pride of golden lotus tinged with red. Her fragrance mocks the scent of lotus bloom with saffron powder spread. Her skill in satisfying Sri Hari is perfect and complete. May Radhika bestow on me the service of her lotus feet. May Radhika bestow on me the service of her lotus feet. Her wondrous silken garments shame the splendor rubies can display. She is a blooming garden where the bee of Krishna loves to play. She worships Surya every day, so she and Madhava can meet. May Radhika bestow on me the service of her lotus feet. May Radhika bestow on me the service of her lotus feet. Eclipsed by Radha's tenderness, the fame of budding blossoms dims. The moon, the lotus sandal paste, and camphor serve her cooling limbs. When Krishna burns with love's desires, her soothing touch dispels the heat. May Radhika bestow on me the service of her lotus feet. May Radhika bestow on me the service of her lotus feet. The youthful goddesses, adored by all, adore the goddess Sri. She lacks Sri Radha's beauty, youth, and every other quality. So when it comes to lover sports, with Radha no one can compete. May Radhika bestow on me the service of her lotus feet. May Radhika bestow on me the service of her lotus feet. In arts like dancing, singing, joking, Radha is by far the best. She shines with countless traits divine, like love and gorgeous form and dress. Among the famous gopis of Vrindavan, she's supremely sweet. May Radhika bestow on me the service of her lotus feet. May Radhika bestow on me the service of her lotus feet. Eternal pastimes, beauty, youth, and love for Krishna make her rich. The loving gopis tremble just to see that love at highest pitch. Her meditation on Sri Krishna's form and pastimes is complete. May Radhika bestow on me the service of her lotus feet. May Radhika bestow on me the service of her lotus feet. Perspiring, trembling hairs on end, and crying, faltering of the voice. Impatience, joy, and guile, these signs of rapture make her friends rejoice. For Krishna's eyes, these many gem-like ecstasies provide a treat. May Radhika bestow on me the service of her lotus feet. May Radhika bestow on me the service of her lotus feet. Apart from Krishna for a moment, Radha feels anxiety and restlessness and other moods, the highest kind of ecstasy. But when she meets him with some effort, all her sufferings retreat. May Radhika bestow on me the service of her lotus feet. May Radhika bestow on me the service of her lotus feet. Exalted goddesses like Parvati can hardly ever see Sri Radha's love, Sri Krishna's lover Radhika. But if a humble devotee recites these verses, then Sri Radha, who enjoys with Sri Hari, will pour the nectar of her service down on him eternally. Will pour the nectar of her service down on him eternally. Hare Krishna. So I didn't print any others. I have one copy of this if someone wants it. But if you want this prayer, just write me at Dravida108@gmail.com. I think you can remember that. Dravida108. 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 Any questions or comments on any of these points? Yes, Prabhu.
You were in the first prayer from Kunti, she's praying to cut off her relationship with the family members. But also there's another point of view, because in Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami is reminding Arjuna of his great lineage, his great family members. One form of Bhava Bhakti is called Sambandha Yuga. Those that follow relatives of Krishna, for example, the Vrishni dynasty are examples, because they're always thinking that Krishna is one of their family members. So
right.
Can you
yeah, well, Srila Prabhupada points that out. In other words, of course, Kunti's children, the Pandavas, and in general the Vrishni dynasty, all her relatives, they're all great devotees. But what she's doing here is she's teaching us, because as Prabhupada mentions, it's mixed in. It's mixed in with maternal affection. Mixed in with maternal affection. So the previous verse is the one where she prays, Sneha Pasham Imam Chindi. Please cut off these ropes of affection for the Vrishnis. That's what she prays. So it's not that she's not appreciating their devotional relationship with Krishna, but she's trying to teach us that that these family relations can be hindrances. They can be hindrances in our pure devotion for Krishna. So, for instance, in family, you know, in real Vaishnava family life, we saw, you know, in Srila Prabhupada's case, how his father, his affection for his son was perfectly manifest in his teaching the mridanga, preventing him from being sent to England to learn to be a barrister, which is what his mother wanted, right? So his father wanted him to be a pure devotee and prayed to all the sadhus, even if some of them may not have been qualified, that his son would become a pure devotee of Radharani. So that kind of affection is perfect. You see, that kind of employment of the bonds of affection, which are going to be there in family life. So that's why Prabhupada, you know, he created a Grihastha Ashram to center the family on Krishna, and the children will be raised in Krishna consciousness, and you know, mother, the protective nature, all of these things will be used for that. But in this particular prayer, it's, you know, at a very high level of renunciation. You remember that what happened was the Pandavas, they just left. When Krishna left the planet, they just gave up everything, gave up, and just started walking to the north. You know, they didn't even look back. So there is a point in the life where everything is finished. There's no longer any need or cause for family affection, and it's simply all on Krishna, and you're leaving this body, which is, after all, what causes the relationships. So she's giving us an example of that. You know, but you're right that there is a whole rasa there. I mean, Krishna in Dwarka, there all the Vrishnis are there, the Yadavs are there. This is part of the eternal pastimes in the spiritual world. So, as Prabhupada says, affection can be there, but we have to focus it on Krishna. We have to always see the priority, what is the highest priority. And that is to develop our love for Krishna. And as I'm going to give something in New Vrindavan, it's coming festival, of inspiration, entitled "God is in the Details." God is in the details. Just like, how do we develop affection or attraction to somebody? Well, we see them. You know, there's the form, there's the personality, the way they speak. There are the details of it. It's not some general thing. So the same thing is there, as you see in these prayers. All of the details about how Krishna looks. It's like the pujaris. Every detail counts. It's meant to be, you know, perfectly composed. And then that's attractive for the mind. That's the whole idea behind the deity worship. So by the same token, we need to hear about and contemplate the details of everything attractive, you know, that attracts us about Krishna. His beauty, his words, his personality, his character, his activities. All these things can draw our mind away from mundane affection. Okay, anyone else? Thank you very much. All glories to Shri Prabhupada.